place prepared just for you and I. Jesus said, I go away, prepare a place that where I am, you may be there.
Yes.
And what a promise. It's good to have you with us this morning, church. Let's let all the visitors know how welcome they are. How glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Amen. Such a powerful spirit that is in this place this morning. I feel an abundance of thanksgiving. Amen. It's good to hear these wonderful testimonies of praise. You know, God's still being God. Amen. He hasn't taken any time off whatsoever. He's still performing miracles. He's still answering prayers. He's still putting doors where we didn't think there was a door to be made. And it's just amazing to sit back and watch God in operation. And thank God for the testimonies this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the 137th Psalm. Psalms 137. I want to take my scripture text from verses 1 through verse 4 this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. Again, Psalms 137, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? Brother Chris, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing this morning upon his messenger?
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have to come to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father God. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we feel even now. Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would just have your way in the service.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to our hearts, yes. Father God. Change us and transform us, Father God. Lord, we're desperate for you, Father God, to hear your words, Father God. Lord, to taste and see that you are good, Lord. For those that are in here that are struggling, Father God, Lord, let them know that you are real, that you are the way maker. You are, Father God, the life. Lord, you are the life that is worth living. And you give that life more abundantly. Father God, bless Brother Eddie. Lord, I ask you just to anoint his lips, anoint his voice, anoint his lungs, Father God.
Yes,
speak your words, Father. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. This morning I desire your prayers as I attempt to bring a message entitled, A Strange Land. A Strange Land. My heart went out as I was reading this passage of Scripture this week, seeking the will of God, just seeking a word. And I was very intrigued. Again, I have read this Scripture before. I think I've even referred to it in different messages, but somehow this week it seemed to really jump out at me. And I pray this morning that I'll somehow be able to convey to you what the Lord had laid upon my heart. Let's look a little bit this morning, if we could, at history and find out what is taking place at this particular time. We find the children of Israel in captivity. They have been taken over not because of the lack of power of God, not because of the vengeance of God, but because of disobedience. Again, how many times have we picked up the Bible and read where the children of Israel had disobeyed the Lord again, and they had suffered the consequences? But we know that God is plenteous in redemption, and he is forgiving. What a wonderful Savior. Aren't you thankful this morning God is long-suffering with us? Amen. I cannot stand to say, and I cannot stand here today and tell you that I have never been disobedient unto God in my life. I have, and I have suffered the consequences, but thank God he's a merciful God. Thank God he is plenteous in forgiveness and long-suffering. And the children of Israel were the recipients of God's mercy time and time again. But they've been taken captive here, and there's many scholars discuss, and some thinks this was maybe written during the time of captivity, during the actual time that they were there. and captive in Babylon. Others think that it was a time that after the Lord had intervened and after once again they had received their freedom and they had moved on and they were reminiscing and thinking. Regardless of the fact, this was a time of weeping. This was a time of sorrow. This was a time of remembering. And the Bible tells us as they sit there and by the waters or by the river, and the thing that they were sad about is because they remembered Zion. One of the most terrifying and saddest things in the world is a Christian sitting somewhere remembering how things used to be. Remembering of how on fire for God they once was and how obedient to His will and how that victory was in their life and how they raised their hands to glorify and praise God and how they acknowledged that they were not their own, but they were in fact bought with a price. And one of the saddest things would be to find oneself in a situation in life where all that we can do and all that we can even find solace in is just remembering or reminiscing about how the Spirit of God used to be in our lives. I had the opportunity to grow up in church and have heard many, many testimonies from the time that I was a small boy. I remember one of the first times that I stood in a testimony service and finally got up enough nerve to stand and give a testimony. And in my mind for months, Brother Jim, I had rehearsed what I was going to say. I was going to say what all of the gray-haired saints stood and thanked God for. And they were so eloquent and so humble in their testimony. And I always wanted to testify like them. And I got up and I think I said three or four words. And I forgot everything that was in my mind, everything that I rehearsed. And I sat down. But as time grew on, I realized that one of the things that I should have said that I didn't, and it was almost said by every saint of God who stood up in the Little Rock Mark Church, especially those who had been in the army of the Lord for a number of years. Amen. Those gray-haired saints of God and those precious women and men, amen, who had seen battles fought and won and had stood the time and stood in faith and seen when things were impossible, they called upon the Lord and they were tested, amen. And I admired their strength. I admired their faith. I admired their completeness in the Spirit of God. And one thing that they would almost say without fail was, I thank God, amen, for the desire He gave me to serve Him. Amen. Thank God that that desire is still just as strong today as it was when I met Jesus Christ at an altar of repentance years and years and years ago. But as I began to mature in Christ, I realized that that desire doesn't just automatically stay with us. Amen. Many, many people begin to lose their desire. And then you would hear testimonies of when they would stand and say, I've not been what I need to be. I understand that I've missed it with God and I'm so sorrowful and I want to make things right. I want to get back to the way that it used to be. And I thank God for that, because that takes a lot of strength to be able to stand and to testify before the church saying, you know what, I'm not what I need to be, but I want to get back to what I used to be. Amen. Because I'm tired of just sitting by the river weeping about things and how it used to be. Amen. I'm ready to get up. I'm ready to get moving. I'm ready to move forward for the Lord. I want that same Holy Ghost Spirit, amen, that I was introduced to years ago. I want to be led by the Spirit. Amen. I don't only want to be led by the Spirit. I want to follow the Spirit. I want to be submissive and obedient to the will of God. And we find the children of Israel in this situation, taken captive, forced to go to a strange land. Strange meaning belonging to another. Belonging to another. How many knows that there's times and places in our spiritual life where we become uncomfortable? Amen. Even in our natural life, there's no place like home. Amen. Home is comfortable. Amen. It's not strange. We're accustomed to it. I've heard people say, I slept pretty good, but it's not like sleeping in my own. Y'all pretty good. Y'all right on cue. But it's when we're away from something that's familiar to us, it becomes strange. And sometimes we're hampered by that strangeness. We don't know how to act. We don't know what to do or what, action to take. And here the children of Israel were by the river. And I thought that very unique that they were by the river. And so many times, rivers are associated with weeping, or vice versa. Weeping is associated with rivers. And the willows there, we know them today as the weeping willows. And they were there in the midst of that particular river of the Euphrates, and where the Tigris met, and there were little canals there. And this was a place where, and I don't really know why they were in this particular place. I don't know if it was a time of resting. I don't know if it was a time, because if they were in captivity, they had to go and do whatever the masters told them to do. Those that had taken them captive, understand, they just wasn't able to go and do what they wanted to. So it may have been a time of rest. It may be in a time between labors. I don't know what it was, but we know that they were gathered around the Tigris and the Euphrates River. And there we know that the enemy was present, because they were telling them, "We want you to sing us a song." Amen. Thank God for the liberty and the freedom that we have to stand in a church and sing a song of praise unto God. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that there's liberty in the house of God. I'm so thankful that we can listen to songs like Sister Tabitha sang, and hearing from the Word of God. Amen. And worship and glorify and praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. If we're not really where we need to be with God, I don't believe the songs, amen, are really able to accomplish what they need to accomplish. I've heard so many times, and I'm not here to put down gospel singers, not at all, because I admire their talent. I admire their zeal to work for God. But I've heard some horrendous stories where you would hear the wonderful sounds and the tune and the songs of gospel singers, or so-called gospel singers, and then somebody would say, "Oh, let me tell you something, they're totally different after they get out of the church house, or after they get off of the stage and they go back to do their certain things." And you would hear, not all groups, but some groups, and I begin to think, how can they sing those glorious songs in a strange land, so to speak, something that was out of the ordinary to them? But let me tell you something on the other hand of that, and you that feel with the Holy Ghost, you're going to understand and know what I'm talking about. Amen. I believe in being on key, don't get me wrong. I believe in playing in the right music. I understand it's very difficult for me to sing in G if the band is in D. Amen. It's hard to know to sing when I find the right key. But let me tell you something. You're going to understand what I'm saying. I have hurt somebody. Amen. Maybe they couldn't carry the best tune in the world, but tears running down their cheeks. Amen. They begin to glorify and praise God, and with a song of praise, it began to bless the whole church. Amen. It wasn't, amen, because they were there to entertain. It was there because they was in a familiar place. Amen. There wasn't in a strange land. They begin to sing maybe about God's amazing grace, amen, or "I'm glad to be a child of King," or, well, there was one song that they used to sing at Rockmart, said, "I'm glad I'm one of them." How many's glad you're one of them this morning, one of them that's been born again, amen, and begin to sing that glorious song of praise? But and the children of Israel had the same melodies, they had the same words, amen, they had the same harps, the same instruments, but something was different. They were in a strange land, they were in a foreign place, they were in a place, amen, that it didn't belong to them. It was very hard to sing about victory. It was very hard to sing about the blessings of God and really put the meaning into it. And they said, and rather than do that, we're going to hang our harps on the willows. Amen. We don't require of us a song. Amen. How can we sing when we're singing in a strange environment? How can we sing the songs of praise when we're in a strange land? I begin to think about that as it applies to the church world today, and how that so many times that things, whatever reason, whatever it is, we become captive to other things. Amen. We're captivated by things of this world many times, and I'm talking about people who've experienced the victory of God. I'm talking about people who know what it is to walk hand in hand with the Lord. I'm talking about somebody who knows what it is to bow in an altar of repentance and have Jesus wash your sins away by his precious shed blood. I'm not talking about the person who has never had an experience with God. Amen. We understand and know it's hard to miss what you've never experienced. But those of us who have experienced the grace of God, those of us who have experienced the mighty feeling of God when he anoints us from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, and we feel the Holy Ghost moving, amen, and working and abiding in our spirit and in our soul, and we're thankful for that. And then we get captivated by situations, we get swayed, amen, by things of this world, and we find, amen, that we're no longer in that comfort zone, we're no longer in that environment where we feel the power and the anointing of God. It's not necessarily because we backslidden and lost out with God. His mercy is great. Amen. His amazing grace is sufficient for each and everything. And let me tell you and reassure you this morning, it's not that God moves away from us. So many times we tend to move away from the Spirit of God. We grow complacent. We grow comfortable in our surroundings and the situations of the world. And many, many times those material things become more godly to us than a spiritual walk with the Lord, and we find ourselves one day, amen, in a spiritual sense of only remembering how good it was. When we remember Zion, our hearts are saddened because we're no longer in that place of spirituality. We're no longer in that place of walking hand in hand with God. And now the enemy, and listen, let me tell you something. If we read history, the enemy wasn't asking them to sing a song for them to worship and praise the Lord. The enemy was asking them to sing a song sarcastically in order to make fun of them. It gives as an example the same mindset that the Philistines had when they poked Samson's eyes out. And they made him as weak as another man, and then they made him come out and test his strength, and they did it, amen, because they ridiculed him and made fun of him. Let me tell you something, young person, let me tell you something, a middle-aged person or whatever it is, you may think the world likes you, you may think the world is out for your best interest, but let me assure you, there is nothing out there but turmoil, there's nothing out there but spiritual unrest. They'll chew you up and spit you out. They'll take everything they can from you and give you nothing in return. And if you're not careful, you'll be drawn away from the power of God, drawn away from the victory there is to walking in a Holy Ghost filled situation. And you'll find yourself, amen, with nothing to rely on but your memories of how it used to be. Your remembers of how you used to walk with God and how God used to work in your life. And you'll be required to be happy then or to sing a song, and it'll be superficial. You may paint a smile upon your face, but I will assure you, when you're away from God and you're away from His Spirit, there is no joy, there is no peace in your heart. You'll find yourself hanging your harp on the willows by the river, and you'll mourn and cry for the very fact that you can't feel what you used to feel. What a sad situation it is. Many, many times throughout the Word of God, and I begin to research it, I begin to look through the different places, I find in Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease." So many, many times in the Word of God, we find that a river was associated with a place of weeping, a place of sadness, and a place of sorrow. And whatever the reason that they were there, and I want us to put that in a spiritual context today. I'm not here to talk about the reason that got us down to the river. I'm not here to scold anybody or to ridicule anybody or to be offensive to anybody or put anybody down. Amen. Who of us have not sinned? Who of us have not erred from the Spirit of God? Who of us have not found ourselves by the river weeping and sorrow and grief because we can't feel what we used to feel, or we don't feel that victory like we once felt? I'm not here to ask you. I'm not here to tell you to confess to me, but I'm here to tell you, if we are in that situation, if we've come to that place in our life and we find ourselves the only solace, the only peace that we can find is remembering how it used to be, then may I encourage you, amen, to quit weeping and start praising God. Start seeking God. I told you at the onset of this message, He is plenteous in forgiveness. Amen. He is long-suffering. Amen. He is gentle. He is meek. We can come to Him with a contrite spirit. Amen. And we don't have to rely on how it used to be. Amen. We can get back to where we used to be. Amen. We can move closer to the spiritual realm of God to feel His anointing, to feel His power, to one to understand that we can lay our head on our pillow at night and not be concerned or frightened, amen, because we don't know if we'll see the daylight tomorrow. And there's a song that says, I'm a winner either way, when you're born again, amen, when you're away from the weeping willows of the river, when you're away from the things how it used to be, and you're living in the present tense, and you're worshiping God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body. It's a wonderful peace, amen, to lay your head down at rest and know that you are in the hands of God and the protecting realm of Almighty God Himself. Man, how it used to be. I'm thinking of my precious dad. We talked about in Sunday school this morning, you know, mimicking, not even consciously, but mimicking those that you are around. And I find myself mimicking Daddy in so many things that he used to say. We were at Dollywood years and years ago, back as the old saying, when Buck was a calf. Some of you been around. Some of the generation said, "Do what? What's a calf?" That's what you get at McDonald's, amen, when you order. Back when Buck was a calf, back when I was young, back when I was energetic, back when I was stupid. Amen. Isn't it amazing? I wish I had the energy that I had now. I can honestly say, I don't, you know, you may think I'm as stupid as ever, but I don't think I'm quite as stupid as I once was. Amen. Because if somebody used to say, "I dare you," I do it. And somebody say, "I dare you," now I say, "Dare all you want to." I ain't going there. I'm not going to do that. Why? I don't want to. That's the only reason you need. I don't want to do it. Amen. I ain't got to prove to you nothing. I just don't want to do it. But I was young then, and we was riding all those things. Anything that would go, I was ready to ride it. And we rode those logs and went down. Boy, that was just fantastic. Want to do it again? Let's get in line, Daddy. Come on, do it again. He said, "Nope." I said, "Come on, Daddy. It's fun." And he said, "It don't take as much fun for me now as it used to." I'm my daddy. I'm just as happy to sit on the sideline and watch others get in that log and go down, get in them roller coasters that turn upside down. I'm thinking my sinuses will kill me if I go upside down. Amen. So now I'm happy, amen, with my memories. Amen. But that doesn't work in serving God. Amen. We were talking about the zeal when you first get saved. Preacher, what can I do? Give me a job. I want to do something for the Lord. I want that zeal back. Amen. Hallelujah. I want the experience that God has given us over the years. Amen. I want the guidance and I want the direction, but I want that zeal back. Amen. On Sunday morning, I want to jump out of the bed and say, "I get to go to church today. I get to go to the house of God to worship." Amen. I get to open up the song book and I begin to sing "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound." Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I'm so thankful to be able to glorify and praise the Lord. I don't want to live on memories of yesterday. I don't want to dwell just on the things that happened back at the Rockmart Church, because I found out the same God of yesterday is the same God of today, and He'll be the same God of tomorrow. And what He's brought me through, He'll do it again. If He's ever answered a prayer for you, you're not limited to one answered prayer. God will do it again. He'll heal your body. He'll open
doors. He'll make a way. He'll part the Red Sea. He'll cool the burning fire. Amen. He'll even let the sun stand still. He's the same God. Hallelujah. We need to quit living as a church on how it used to be. How we used to praise God. How we used to have victory. How we used to see healings. How we used to see people saved. How we used to see the Holy Ghost move. Let me tell you, it's us that's moved away. It's not God. Get your hearts back off of the willows. Amen. Get up and praise God. If you want to clap your hands, I want to assure you, it's all right in this church. If you want to shout, it's okay in this church. If you want to praise Him, go right ahead. He's worthy. He's worthy of all of our praise. The time and the day for weeping is over. It's time for shouting and glorifying and praising God. Hallelujah. But we can't do it. It's strange. We're in a foreign land, an alien land, a land belonging to others. I am a firm believer in that all change is not great. I've heard, oh, change is great. Change is wonderful. Heard that with the people I work for, and I understand that. Understand the necessity of changing with the times. You have to keep up in order to be a player in today's economy. I understand that. But it doesn't apply in the Word of God. In fact, it teaches against it. Seek ye the old paths. Amen. We were camping this week and we had a little chance to do some hiking. I just remembered again what Daddy said. rather than looking at the nature and what's at the end of the trail, I find myself looking, how long is it? Rather than the benefit at the end of the trail. Oh, you see a glorious waterfall. After I see the length of it, can we drive there? Can we drive closer? Can you take a picture? Bring it back. Even a video, I can see the water actually running. And I can sit on the beach and wait. And I noticed that the longer the paths were, the more grown up they were. Evidently, there's a lot of other people that drive to the fall as opposed to walking. Then the shorter paths were broad and well traveled. And I said, this is more like it. Just a short little tramp through the woods and we'll be right back to the truck and we'll be on our merry way. So evidently, a lot of other people don't like the long and winding paths with a reward at the end. They want the short and narrow and wide paths with very little effort and with very little energy, but with a great reward. The Bible that I read, amen, doesn't bear that out. Amen. I believe it's a long and narrow way. I believe a lot of times there's a lot of crooks in the road. I believe a lot of times there's some hills to climb. We found ourselves Penny pushing me up some hills and me pushing her up some hills. But thank God we made it. Thank God we made it to the waterfall. And we sat by the waterfall. And we didn't weep. Amen. We said, wasn't it worth it? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it great? Amen. Glory to God. I'm looking, amen, for some dedicated saints. And say, no, don't give me the shortcuts. Don't give me the short paths. That's why the whole world's taking those. Put me on a straight and narrow highway. Amen. I want a place, amen, where I can be in the will of the Lord. I want a place where I can live in the natural. now experience of God. Don't begin to tell me how God used to bless. I want to hear how he's blessing today. I want to hear how he got you up out of the bed this morning, how he protected you on your way here. Amen. How he came into this service and he poured out his spirit and he poured out his anointing and he blessed folks and he raised folks up and he turned our attention to him. He's a now God. He's performing miracles now in the day and hour that we're living in. If we'll get our hearts off of the hanging branches of the willow trees. Amen. The weeping willow. Very unlike the leaves of an oak tree or another tree that has broad leaves that when the wind hits them, they flutter and almost in praise and worship. But have you seen the willows when the wind blow? They just hang and kind of go. And I'm wondering sometimes, do I come in the church more resembling a weeping willow? Amen. Than a lofty tree with branches and leaves waving to my Lord and my Savior, glorifying and just thanking him for the breath, thanking him for the experience, thanking him, amen, that he's given me another day. Could it be because we have been captivated? We don't have the freedom anymore. What is it that has you bound? What is it that your enemy says, oh, you don't have to be like you used to be? Come on, sing that song. Sing that song of Zion. If you read on further, they refuse to. They say, we'd rather just cut off our right arm. Never have it anymore. Never be able to play that harp again. Then try to play that musical instrument and sing in a strange land. What makes this land strange is because we get away from the presence of God. We get away from the zeal of God. God has called us into the ministry. We put the ministry on hold. God has given us an opportunity to venture out for him, but we're still waiting for a sign. Let me tell you, I know some Holy Ghost filled people that I guarantee you they'd argue if that train was on the track or not because they never saw the sign. Hey, the train is there. Hello? Well, I want a sign to tell me that the train is. You don't need a sign if you're in touch with God. Amen. You know what my Bible tells me? Signs are for the unbelievers. I've been an unbeliever. Amen. I don't need a sign from God. I just need to know that if I put my faith and trust in him, God will do it. Period. God will do it. Period. In fact, God will do it. Exclamation point. Amen. He does it with zeal. He does it with fervor. He does it as a miracle. Amen. God is still God, folks. I know the world's changed. I know people have changed. I know fans have changed. But the God I serve is still the same God. Amen. That walked with Moses. That walked with David. Amen. That was there. I believe he's still alive and well today. And on the throne. Amen. Ready to help us. But the church is saying, well, we just don't do that anymore.
Come on, brother.
Why?
Come on.
Well, it's a little offensive to some folks. It's a little offensive. It makes some folks nervous. Let me tell you something. I grew up Pentecostal. Ain't nobody had their nerves more shattered than me. I ducked hairpins. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When the power of God got on some of those precious ladies with their hair up like that and they begin to shake that head, you better look out. You better have the shield of faith to be fast one because pins were going to fly. Amen. Glory to God. They didn't do it for show. They did it because they was in the now presence of God. They wasn't worried about yesterday or how it used to be. They was glorifying and praising God. Oh, but Pastor, we can't do that today. Really? Folks look down on that kind of praise and worship. Amen. Well, David's wife, he made fun of him. But he danced before the Lord with all of his might. Amen. You think he was thinking about how that God interceded when he was faced the lion and the bear out and keeping his dad's sheep? Or maybe how God interceded. Maybe he was thinking, you know what, I used to be strong in the Lord. I used to take my sling and go up against a giant. And you think, well, maybe that was in the back of his mind. But I think he was thinking about what God is now. Amen. Symbolic of the power that was in the Ark of the Covenant. Significance of the presence of God Almighty. And it was right there with him. Hallelujah. Now, I like to testify. And I like to shout and praise God about what he used to do and what he did in my life. And how he saved me and how he brought me again. And how he touched Kevin and how he healed my wife when she was in the hospital. And all those glorious things. And I never want to forget them. Amen. But you really want to get my igniter going. You really want to get my button going. Amen. Let me begin to realize what God is right now, this time. Right now in this moment. Right now in this very minute. He's alive and well. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God, not because of anything I did, but a child of God because of what he did on the cross at Calvary. I'm so glad I had a blood transfusion. Amen. His blood, his royal blood now flows through my vein. I'm a born again child of God. Can't nobody take that away from me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to pull my heart down off of the willows. I'm going to begin to sing and praise God and glorify him with every ounce of strength that I've got, because he's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. He's adoring. I love him. I need to exalt him in everything that I do. Praise God. And people say, why do you move around, get so excited when you're preaching? I don't know. I just have to do it. I've never asked God, don't let me move. Keep my feet planted behind the pulpit. God, I don't need to sweat. I don't want to be offensive. I've never prayed that prayer. You know why? I'm afraid if I prayed that prayer, God's going to tell me right in the middle of the sermon to take off running. Because if he said it, I'd do it. Amen. But you see, I've realized that I got something that the world can't give. And the world can't take away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And I don't want to be caught in some strange land, in some strange environment, in some strange place where I can't feel the freedom and I can't feel the liberty to glorify and praise God. I never want to sit to a dinner. I don't care. You know, the difference between dinner and supper is the price. That's it. I researched that. That's all it is. It's the price. You eat supper at home, you eat dinner out. It costs more to eat dinner than it does supper. So there it is. I don't care how elegant the place is. I don't care what kind of surroundings is. If I don't have the freedom and liberty to bow my head and thank God for this food and bless it without feeling that I'm going to offend somebody else, I'm in a strange land. I'm in a strange environment, and I don't mind getting up and saying, I don't belong here. I'm going to go back, amen, and get somewhere where I can have the liberty and glorify and praise him, amen, the way that God intended for his saints to do, amen. And I don't want to be offensive, but if I ever find myself in a church where they won't let me clap my hands or raise my hand or say every once in a while, thank you Lord or thank you Jesus, I'm going to have to say, well, you know what, I'm going to have to get into a place, amen, where I'm familiar. I'm going to have to get in a place, and it might be out of my backyard, because let me tell you, I found God to be right out there in the backyard with me. I found him to be on the riding lawnmower with me, amen, because many, many times, rather than grumbling about cutting grass, I'm glorifying and praising God, amen. Lord, thank you for the opportunity. If we'll have the mindset that we are no longer under bondage by the blood of Jesus Christ, he has unlocked the keys. He has loosed the chains. He has broken the chains that had us bound. If we're bound, it's not God's fault. If we're bound, we have bound ourselves. ourselves with the cares of this world. And I'm here to tell you, God will set you free. God will break the chains. You can no longer have to reminisce or remember how it used to be. You can live in the present tense with God. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout praise the Lord. Somebody who was once bound ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Somebody who knew how it was to be in a strange place ought to put your hands together and love Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A couple of things I want you to notice as we attempt to close. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down. Think about that. Oh, doesn't say the enemy made you sit down. The enemy gets blamed for a lot of stuff, but let me tell you something. Sometimes it's just because we sat down. For whatever reason, we just quit. We just give up. Have the attitude of, what's the use? Seems like the more I serve him, the worse it gets. And the devil said, you're right, absolutely. Why do you even serve God? We sat down. We wept. When? When we remembered Zion. Come on, man. When we remembered, I don't have to be here. I think one of the most loneliest times that a person can go through is one who's once walked with God. Then suddenly they find themselves, for whatever reason, for whatever situation, remembering Zion, and they begin to weep. Nobody else is around. They begin to weep. They begin to cry. They begin to remember how it once was. And the sad thing is, so many of them think they could never be better again. That's a lie from the enemy. You don't have to sing your song in a strange land. You can find your way back to Calvary. You can find your way back to the forgiving grace of Almighty God. I don't care how far you've strayed. I don't care what you've done. God has still got his arms outstretched, saying, you don't have to weep by the rivers no more. Get your harp and come into the sanctuary of Almighty God and praise him and love him till your heart is content. And finally, I want you to understand this. We hanged our harps upon the willows. The enemy didn't do it. And I want to tell you something else. God didn't do it. God didn't take your harp away from you. What are you talking about harp? I'm talking about your praise instrument, whatever it is. It may not be a musical instrument, whatever it is that you give praise unto God. You hung it up. We hung it up. Not God. Not the enemy. Not the boss. Come on. Not my husband. Not my wife. Not my mom. Not my dad. Not the preacher. My God, if it was a preacher, I'd be plucking them off the willows right now. Passing them out as you walked out the door. Here, don't forget your harp. But we hung it up. And we'll tell you something. It's going to have to be us that takes it down. There's a song that says, I'm going to take back what the enemy stole from me. Oh, you've heard it. We went to the enemy's camp and we took back what he stole from me. I said, I took back what he stole from me. I said, I took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp and I got my heart back that he stole from me. He's under my foot. He's under my foot. Satan is under my foot. You just need to be reminded of that. Amen. It's up to us to go back and take the harp that is hanging on the willow somewhere in a strange land. Don't want to be in that strange land. Amen. I want to be in a comfortable environment with God, praising him, worshiping him, feeling his anointing. And let me tell you something. I've often said this. If the only place I could ever feel God was here, I'd never leave. But thank God that he's in here. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Don't you love him? Don't you thank him? If you're here today, give him praise. Give him praise.
He's worthy. Worthy of all of our praise. If you're here today and you find yourself spending more time thinking about how it used to be, you don't have to. You don't have to. Amen. God can renew that spirit. Amen. He can recharge that Holy Ghost battery. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God just praying the will of God be done.